There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this one. Come on.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 509. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And of course, we have, finally, the whole crew. It's been a while. We have Paris. Paris, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir. You told people I went on vacation on the last episode, and you don't know how many messages I got going, hey, hope you're enjoying your vacation, Paris. I'm like, look, I'm on vacation. I don't know why you
said that. Get out of here. Oh, my God. What, on PlayStation while you were playing Destiny?
Yeah, while I was playing Destiny. Which I have to say, because when you did the second episode last week, 508, and you played that voicemail from the one particular guy, I remember him. I remember when he came into the raid and everything, and shout out to him. And just, yeah, man, that's why I keep saying, yeah, you want to jump on and raid or strikes or whatever, playing Destiny, we have a good time. And I appreciate that voicemail, so I just want to thank him.
Yeah, I hope we could do that with Halo 5 once it comes out. Warzone, baby. Woo, all the way. Let's play that. That's going to be fun. And also we have Pete.
What's up? How are
Sounds
you?
So far. What's going on?
I'm fine. I'm here. I'm just trying not to breathe into the mic or cause any other audio issues tonight. So let's do this. Let's do this. Let's talk.
That's true. And also we have Patrick, a.k.a. Poston J.
What's up, party people? It's been a good week. I've been playing some fun games, some cool betas here and there.
And also bad games, too.
Bad games, too. Not so fun games. It's a give or take. As more games come out, not every game can be amazing, unfortunately. But it's starting to pick up again. We're getting some game announcements, some other things we can mention. But other than that, it's been a good week. And I've enjoyed it. And let's talk about some stuff, man. A lot of things we need to discuss this week.
Definitely. Well, first off, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Speaking about fan mail, I think last week's episode, episode 508 that came out on Thursday, I really enjoyed that audio. That episode was really, really fun. Took some time to edit that episode, but the part that I had a lot of fun with was, you know, the listeners calling us, emailing us, just sending us a lot of great questions for the episode. So I hope for episode 510, we get more questions and all that stuff, man. So please continue to send us comments, feedback, everything. Even, you know, questions for Patrick, Pete, and Paris. That'll be great, man. So continue, please. Man, this week has been kind of weird. The theme this week has been microtransactions. I know not a lot of people are a fan of that stuff. So I believe Bungie made an announcement about that for Destiny. And kind of there was an announcement also, I don't know if it was from Microsoft or the developers of Tomb Raider. They also announced that they also is going to have microtransaction. Now, a lot of people freaked out with both, but which one you guys, you see that it's not that bad and the one that there's a lot of like issues with it? Who wants to start?
I'll start. And look, bias aside, Destiny Talk Radio aside, which, by the way, I have to say, you know, we've been getting a lot of feedback. People sick of us talking about Destiny. I don't know what to tell you because everyone's talking about it. So what do you want us to do? But Bungie, with their plan for microtransactions, I'm actually okay with to a point. To make it short and sweet, they're going to charge you for cosmetic items like shaders, emotes, things of that nature. It will not have anything to do with actual gameplay content, maps, levels, any of that, weapons, any of that kind of stuff. So the actual game itself will be fine. You're just essentially buying cosmetic items. The good thing about this, if they pull it off, is they're going to use that money to fund additional content. So that's where our quote-unquote DLC is going to come from for the rest of year two of Destiny. So if that happens, hey, I'm all for it, because let me tell you something. I will never buy any of that stuff. I don't care about that. I just want to play the game. So for me, I don't have to spend additional money to get more content from Destiny in year two. So that's a good thing. The thing that gives me pause on that is how much content are we going to get in year two? In my opinion, it needs to exceed what we got in year one for Destiny to make sense to me. Because if it doesn't, then I would have been okay paying for actual DLC content because I want more. You know what I mean? So it's a game I enjoy playing. So if I need to pay to get more, that's fine. But on the surface, what Bungie's doing, I'm okay with. Now, Tomb Raider, it doesn't affect, here's the thing. It doesn't affect me, because what they're essentially doing, EA's had this for years with various games, where you can pay to unlock certain things or get higher items within the single player game. Just if you don't want to grind and you're not patient, you can throw money at the situation and you can advance through the game by unlocking certain things. Mm. I personally would never do that. I don't like that. But it doesn't harm anyone if they don't want to participate in it, especially a game like Tomb Raider, since it's a single player experience anyways. It's not like multiplayer is being affected by this. I just don't like the practice that these type of things are built into games now, that $60, especially for a single player experience, just isn't enough. The developer and the publisher, or more specifically the publisher most likely, is trying to get additional funds out of you instead of just what you paid, you know, from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Multiplayer games with DLC maps, all that kind of stuff, that's fine. I understand that, because you're paying the developer to do extra work to give you this additional content. But a single player game, when they do all this microtransaction stuff, I'm not a fan. So,
question.
Yes.
Would you be a fan of that if, let's say, it was year two and it was the only way as an add-on for the developer and or publisher to make money to do additional stuff, kind of like what Destiny is doing. With the...
And that's fine, because you're giving me additional content. What Tomb Raider's doing isn't additional content. What Tomb Raider's just allowing you to unlock something faster.
That's already there.
Yeah.
And I think the gamosphere or whatever you want to call us, has we've covered this ad nauseum with other stuff. I think the one that everyone might come to mind is the Battlefield one. Mm-hmm. When our friends over at Sarcastic Gamer, they made a big stink about it, and EA actually I think did something about that as a result of you know, the big hullabaloo that everybody raised. So I mean, I'm on the same boat with you. I'm okay with what Destiny and Bungie is doing, because it's purely cosmetic. It's not going to affect the game in any way other than what you're seeing on the screen. And I'll be frank, I'll be the first person to throw money at my Xbox so that my Titan doesn't dance like a goofball and I can get him to do something like the MC Hammer dance or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what they're counting on. They're counting on people wanting to get these additional emotes and shaders and, like you said, throw money at the screen and buy them. But you're not being forced to do it. And I think that's the key. As long as you're not forcing me to do it and it's completely optional, then it's my choice if I decide to, and that's fine. And if the money that you're getting from this is allowing you to basically give us free DLC in year two, thumbs up to it. I'm fine with it. Just show me what the content's going to be. That's all I care about.
Man, but you know what? I know a lot of people complain about microtransactions, but you'd be surprised the amount of people that actually buy this stuff.
Well, that's why they do it.
Oh, we know. There's a bunch of wallet warriors out there. I remember people doing it as far back on EA's Need for Speed. I can't remember which iteration it was. I think it might have been Most Wanted, but people were doing that, And within the first day, they already had like a Bugatti Veyron all tricked out and, you know, best, you know, with all the engine and all the perks. And then, you know, and that's day one, stuff that people shouldn't have unlocked for at least a couple of days, maybe a week through just regular gameplay. And it was just, it's almost unfair. And it, especially if it bleeds over into the multiplayer. Granted, it doesn't really affect Tomb Raider in this case because, you know, it is a single player game. But if it alters the game for stuff that's already on the disc when you paid for it, that I think is where the stink comes from.
As long as I'm not missing out on anything because I'm not choosing to spend nickels and dimes here and there, I have no beef with this. So for me, you know, as I'm reading up on the Tomb Raider DLC, it's not as reactionary as I assumed it would be. It's, as we've said before, it's just things that are already in the game you can unlock, essentially like cheat codes that you're now getting faster without having to probably beat the game first and you get to unlock it. So now you would have the ability to have, you know, the big head mode, you know, the quicker heal mode without having to complete the game first and all those credits. That's fine. You know, for me, Tomb Raider is a hardcore game. I played on the hardest difficulty setting. I enjoy the challenge. I wouldn't want any of that stuff anyways. And on Destiny thing, you know, again, it's colors and dances, and that's fine. And, you know, if, as Paris has said, if that really is helpful to fund more free of DLC for Destiny, I'm completely on board for that. That's exciting. Because at this point, I guess I'll go ahead and phrase this question to you, Pete and Paris, right here to you guys. At this point, your $40 for Taken King, have you gotten your full $40 worth, or do you still expect some kind of free DLC between now and the next major expansion?
I would say yes, I have, because I know that hard mode raid is coming, and I'm still doing stuff in the game. You know, like, again, we don't need to make this Destiny talk radio.
No, we don't.
I'm okay with that.
No, because you know what? I do get what people, some of the feedback that we're saying. I mean, we're Gamertag Radio. We should be talking about all the games and not just one. So I'll just keep it short and sweet and just saying that there's a lot of content still out there for Taken King. I know that hard mode raid is about to come. Mm-hmm. So just on that alone, yeah, I feel I've gotten my $40 worth out of it. And there's obviously all the PvP stuff that I can do as well. So I'm not complaining at all. And I'll just throw this in there before you say something, Pete. I look at what Halo 5 is doing, and I think they haven't announced it yet. The fact that they're giving all their maps away for free as well, will not be shocked to see microtransactions in a similar fashion to get cosmetic items to basically fund it. If that's the new model that publishers and developers are going to go with for multiplayer games, for online games, in that they're not going to charge you directly for DLC, but instead give you optional microtransactions, hey, I'm fine with that. That's good, because that helps everybody, because
that's
given
good
choice.
And bad, because that's good and bad, though, because the people who don't contribute still kind of win, because, you know, they're still going to get content, you know, future content, because, you know, because other people have contributed. Now, I'm just hoping that it's something that it picks up, that people that may not immediately be like, oh, I'm not going to contribute, I'm not going to do that, see that and be like, okay, all right, no, fine, maybe I'll throw an extra $2-3. It's only $2-3, granted, in the grand scheme of things, not a lot, not everybody has the disposable $2-3, you know, like most of us do. But it benefits those who pay more because they're actually seeing the value of what they put forth. But the people who, there's a lot of people that are stingy and refuse to put money in afterwards, and they're going to get the bonus without ever having to put in. So it's almost like a double-edged sword. You know, it is,
but look at it this way as well. And again, I'm not just trying to use Destiny as an example. This applies to Call of Duty, Halo, all the big multiplayer games. You fragment your community when you have paid DLC, and there's certain maps that can only be played on certain playlists because you didn't pay for it and all that. So this is kind of a solution, because you're bringing everybody forward all at once, because you don't have to worry about putting up paywalls to keep people out of certain maps and out of certain types of content. So again, I totally get what you're saying, Pete, but there's always going to be good and bad to something. I just think this solution far outweighs the negative. Because now,
oh, I agree.
Because now the entire community, at their leisure, when they want to, can experience all this new content. The developers still get paid. The publisher's happy. They're still making their millions, billions of dollars, and we all win.
And not only that, Halo 5 brings, I believe, 21 maps, launch maps.
Yeah, and then 18 for free. post-launch.
18 for free. Dude, that's
I hope
that's
that is
good.
The new model. I hope they are successful.
But that's the thing. When it, again, going back to Halo 5, with I'm sorry, Paul, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
but with the 18 maps, somebody's paying for this, right? So yeah.
Microsoft, I would assume.
So Microsoft may be like, all right, we're going to take the gamble and invest in this ahead of time, but they're going to try and make this back on the back end. Don't think they're not.
Yeah, but it's also marketing too, because this is like a way to have people talking like, man, 21 maps, 18 free. Man, we should buy an Xbox One. This is also a marketing thing. It's not only because of the microtransactions, you know?
And it's healthy competition for things like, yeah. You know, Call of Duty, which had the traditional pricing structure of, you know, 4 maps, 5 maps, or $15 every couple of months. And a lot of people are totally okay with that. They'll buy Black Ops 3. They'll buy the season pass. You know, they love Call of Duty. That's all for them. But I would hope that more people that maybe, you know, have either written off Halo in the past or, you know, have grown distant from it or maybe just really not got into it, see this and be like, well, you know, if I was going to get a new system anyways, my choice is between, you know, the Uncharted collection right now for this year for PlayStation and Uncharted 4 for next year, or, you know, Halo 5 is saying it's going to give me all its DLC for free in the future. And that's a pretty big incentive, in my opinion, for people hopping into the console cycle this holiday season. That could sway a lot of people.
And I hope Microsoft does the same thing for Gears next year or Crackdown in the future. You know,
no fragment communities. I agree with Paris. That's just not the way to go anymore. There's too many games out there. There's too many choices. We're already fragmented enough as it is. You want, you know, if you put out a good game, you want to support it and make sure your core, as many launch players as possible, are still playing 6 months down the road. And when people see that active community and those active servers, you know, when the game drops in price, they're more likely to go, well, I mean, people are still playing this game. It's still getting active content support. I'm much more willing to go and pick this up now as opposed to a lot of multiplayer games last generation that simply just got left behind. You know, you played it for 3 months and then the servers are just dead after that. And that's not good for anybody.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. With one-week fantasy, there are no season-long commitments. Got an injured player? No problem. It's like a new season every week, so you're never stuck with the same players. And get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week with this season. That means you could turn your love of football into the paid day of a lifetime. Just pick your players, pile up the points, pick up your cash. That's it. Believe me, you've never experienced football like this before. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Folks, we've been saying it all season. DraftKings.com is a fantastic site. You don't have to be locked into a season-long fantasy football league. Every week is a new opportunity to win cash. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code GAMERTAG and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where first place takes home $100,000. Enter GamerTag for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so the next topic, man, you know, I woke up this morning. I got an email at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I believe that was 12, the West Coast. And Sony announced that PlayStation 4, they finally reduced the price to $349. So that means, Pete, now you could get the Uncharted bundle for $349.99.
That was the first thing that came to mind as soon as I saw that. And on top of that, if I'm not mistaken, it's not the older. There's a new revision. I think it's the version C revision that has come out that has some software and hardware enhancements. You're getting a hardware refreshed PS4 for $350. And on top of that, you can get a bundle for $350, like the Uncharted bundle. Yep. Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Power play.
and also, you can get the 1 TB Call of Duty Black Ops PlayStation 4 bundle for $429.99. I believe it also have a Disney Infinity, the Star Wars PS4 bundle, 500 gig, $399. Star Wars Battlefront, which you're going to talk about that later on. PS4 bundle, same price, $3.99. Star Wars Battlefront bundle. I think this one is also a which one is it? Oh, the limited edition one. That one is $3.99, and the other one, which I mentioned the wrong price, is $3.49. And also there's a NHL 16 PlayStation 4 bundle, 500 gigs for $4.29. Only available in Canada only. So what are your thoughts about this? I mean, this is the right move because, man, Microsoft announced so many bundles last week, and now Sony making this move. I think this is great. Great for everyone. Like I said, competition is great for the consumers.
Yeah, this is literally the counter to what I just said about Halo and the free maps. I mean, this is how you come against something like that. If you don't have, you know, your first party big heavy hitters ready for the holidays, you make sure the people go ahead and get your hardware. You give them a damn good deal on some of these games, like the Battlefront and the Uncharted bundle, which are great, great deals. I mean, you're getting free games with a $50 cheaper system. That's going to put a lot of length into your gaming time because you're not having to go out and buy another game. You know, especially if you're buying a gift for somebody, you're buying, you know, you're finally picking a PlayStation for your kids for Christmas. And, you know, everyone hates it when you're told to buy a game and then buy a game, you know, a second controller and then a game on top of that. It's just a lot of money. This, you know, simply for Uncharted, which is a single player game. That's a great way to get someone into modern gaming, especially if somehow they completely skip last generation, never played Uncharted. Their minds can be blown by how far these games have come and transition that in Uncharted 4. And that's how you build consumer loyalty to a brand, is aggressive marketing like this. So I'll be curious to see what Xbox has to say against this now that this news has come out.
Yeah, but I mean, they have so many bundles.
Oh, I know. I'm just curious if they'll react to it, if they just think they're fine already because they beat them to the punch with the announcements. Well, I'll be curious to see.
I think the only way to really get a great buzz is just advertisements. Go crazy on TV during Monday Night Football, during comedy shows, or during The Walking Dead. Just show crazy advertisements, not only on TV, but online, radio, just everywhere. And let's see what happens from there, man. Because let me tell you, once it gets closer to the Black Friday, you're going to see a lot of those ads, man, or hear about it, you know. So, but Pete, let me ask you this. I know you are planning to buy a PlayStation 4. I honestly thought you were going to buy the Call of Duty edition because that one is a 1 terabyte instead of 500 gigs. So you prefer to get the Uncharted collection one, that bundle instead?
The reason being is because of the ability to swap out the hard drive at will on the PlayStation. With the newer one, I don't know if the newer 1 terabyte is going to be the C chassis. I'm actually looking at it right now. There's some cosmetic changes. It's all matte black instead of having some shiny black. They use 8 1 gig memory sticks instead of 16 512 meg memory sticks. Just little things that I've wanted to do. It's a little bit thinner and lighter, but the ability for me to go in and pull out a hard drive that I may already have in stock here in my house to throw it in there to increase the storage capabilities of the unit made me decide to go on something. And plus, I'm getting the Uncharted collection. I'm getting more games, you know,
and true.
Just
and you never
to
played
play.
It. You never played
and it's
that
a
game.
Full introduction to the entire franchise, which is a great opportunity for me. It's a great introduction for me into the PlayStation ethos. I have a PlayStation, you know, 3 here in my office, so it's not like it's my first, you know, introduction to the Sony ethos. And I mean, I loved my PlayStation 2 back in the day, but I just wanted to have that whole Uncharted experience be my introduction into the, you know, into, as Paris likes to say, into greatness. So
greatness awaits.
So that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
excuse me.
Greatness awaits.
No, what are you going to say? Sorry, Pasa. What are you going to say, Pasa?
No, nothing. Making a bad pun. Go on, Pete.
Okay.
I'm done. I'm done. That's pretty much
awesome.
It.
Welcome to the fold.
Hey, Pete, what was this? The Deus Ex canceled?
Deus Ex.
Yeah, Deus Ex. What happened about that?
So there was some backlash from consumers when Deus Ex announced their augment your own pre-order promotion. It gave buyers or potential consumers who were interested in Deus Ex, myself included, I know Paris is hyped for it, but it gave people a chance to throw money at an upgraded experience on the new Deus Ex title. And a lot of people complained. Myself, I remember I picked up my son a couple of months, you know, like a couple of weeks ago. And the first thing he said in the car besides, "Hey dad," was, "What's going on with Deus Ex? What stupidity did they decide to do? Why? Explain this to me." And, they listened, which, you know, thankfully people are doing, I guess, you know, the public is starting to get a little bit more, you know, a little more power when it comes to these things. But, you know, Deus Ex, they decided, you know, we're going to go ahead and cancel it and go back to the traditional pre-order methods of, you know, you'll have, you know, your console, maybe a limited edition, but they're getting rid of the augment your pre-order promotion. That's pretty much it. It's if you're interested in it, I mean, you can look it up, but they've got a whole, you know, you can go to their site, deusex.com, and they have all the information there.
Yeah, I was looking on, because I'm excited for the Witcher 3 DLC that comes out, I believe, next week or so. They announced that they're going to have a patch coming out, 1.10, and it's 15 gigs per console.
Got to be a record, right?
Well, it depends. It depends on the delivery method. It could be anywhere up to 15 gigs. I know the last one, 1.08, on the GOG Galaxy client, mm-hmm. which I have on my PC, was 7.5 gigs. You know, and it's been a couple of weeks since I've played it, you know, so it was a 7.5 gig, you know, download. It was pretty chunky, but it's the most extensive update they've put to it. There's actually a 13-page guide that's available on the CD Projekt Red site that details it, and it's not even all of the information of all the things that they did to this latest update.
I mean, so. That's a lot of bandwidth, man. That's true. A lot.
And you know what? We could translate this right over back to that, you know, right back to your argument of diskless versus disk.
Okay, I have to
There's some
in.
People... Oh, people! Some people may not have the bandwidth, or may have that allotment, or that ability to download that much stuff. So,
what happened, Paris? What are you going
to
say?
No, I just want to say, because you know I'm sitting here listening, and I was already in the chat saying stuff, but I'll just repeat it on here. I completely disagree with Paulson on this. I will be floored if we see optical discs in any of these consoles the next time they roll around. It just doesn't make sense. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Go back to what Microsoft was trying to do in 2013. If they would have had better messaging, they would have gotten away with it then, as far as just a digital future on all games. I mean, technically, games are digital already because you're downloading them to the hard drive. They do not play off the disc. The disc is simply a delivery mechanism to get the game to you. And the only
it's the authentication.
Yeah. And the only people that are truly concerned about keeping discs are GameStop, Best Buy, Walmart, Gamefly, companies that sell used games. That's it. The publisher does not want used games. None of them want used games. So like it or not, they're going to collude and they're going to get rid of them. And people, consumers can throw their arms up and, oh, I want my Blu-ray player and I want all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, they're just going to shrug and go, oh, well, we got Zelda, Halo, and Uncharted. If you want to play them, guess you better download them, because that's what's going to happen. And again,
they will buy it.
Yeah,
they will buy
it. Of course they're going to buy it. And, you know, again, as being a longtime PC gamer, I'm used to this anyway. So it doesn't bother me. You know, again, technology moves forward. We don't stay stagnant. Optical disc is an old technology that was needed, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's not needed anymore. I mean, if we're just going to stay with something that works, we'd all be popping in Betamax and VHS tapes to play our games. We're not doing that, are we? So things are going to move forward.
And HD DVDs on our Xbox 360.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah. Hey, I was hyped for that, too.
Guilty too.
Yeah, I mean, look, the book industry, music industry, movie industry, that's what they're going for. You know, they rather have this digital for them not to pay extra money to create copies for everything.
Yeah.
You know, having digital, it's a lot cheaper, a lot cheaper. And the thing is, at the same time, yes, I know there's, we're probably going to talk about it in the next episode, but a couple of people complained that, you know, saying, oh, why did you have it for $59.99 if it's digital and this and this and that? You know, the companies like selling all these games with no disc and everything. Why having the same price? The thing is, guys, they don't want to have a bad relationship with retailers. So they're right now they're trying to figure out how they can make them happy. You know, like Microsoft announced last week about these bundles, and P, I know you mentioned this, GameStop was not going to sell consoles with digital games. If they had a physical disc, they will be allowed to be sold in stores. So for them doing that, you know, have I believe the bundle that has Gears of War, Ori, and Rare Replay, two of them if has physical disc, and there's only one digital, which is Ori. That's it. That one is allowed to be over there at that store, you know. But that's the thing, man. A lot of retailers, they're really, really worried. They're scared because they're going to lose a lot of money when this happens. And this eventually is going to happen in the future.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Socks. That's right. Socks. Anyone that knows me or follows me on social media knows I have a thing for socks. And I have to tell you guys about Mack Weldon. These guys were dope enough to send me a few pairs. And I have to say, they're the most comfortable things in the history of hosiery. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? Whatever, I'm sticking with it. They're that good. They stay up. They have this little padding on the bottom that literally feels like little pillows for your feet. And not just that, they're mad stylish as well. They also sent me some t-shirts. I mean, who doesn't dig t-shirts, right? But these shirts are special. They have this thing called XT2 silver, which means they've got silver woven into the fabric of the shirt. And because of the silver tech in the shirts, means they're antimicrobial and anti-odor. And with Fallout 4 coming out soon, this means you can literally get lost in the wasteland for days without smelling or needing VADs to get healthy. And if that wasn't enough, if you don't dig what you get, doesn't fit right, or whatever, they'll replace it or refund your money, no questions asked, or returns needed. The whole process is a breeze. Just head on over to MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com to place your order and get 20% off by using the promo code GTR. That's promo code GTR and save 20% right now over at MackWeldon.com.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Come on, come on.
I totally see your point, Paris. I mean, I agree with it as a gamer. You know, I have no problems buying the games digital. But you know, if you're going to speculate that Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo are going to collude to remove physical games, I'm going to speculate that Walmart, Best Buy, Target, and GameStop are also going to collude to give those companies a crap ton of money to leave those optical drives in the next systems, because that is a huge part of their revenue, at least in GameStop's case. So I just don't see GameStop dissolving off the face of the earth in 5 to 6 years. That's why, in my opinion, there'll be optical drives for one more generation until GameStop and the rest of the brick and mortar industries figure out a way to adapt or die. But I just think they have so much retail pulling power on their end that they could convince the big three to leave the optical drive. Maybe not Nintendo, but certainly people with a huge Western focus like Sony and Microsoft. That's my speculation. That's where I'm coming from.
My concern is what do any of those hardware developers gain by not pushing out a physical disc?
Good relationships, providing promotion, marketing, and you know, probably a huge lump sum or some kind of annual deal.
Lump sum of money that they save from not having to license.
I mean, I'm
not just the hardware, but the software itself. Like right now, Microsoft has to pay $100 to Sony for every Xbox One that's out on the market.
That's my point. It is a dying technology. Why would you drag it out an additional ticket? Think about it. When you come out with that next console, for argument's sake, let's just say it's 2019. You're holding on to it for at least another 7 years. So we're going to be into the mid to late 2020s, and we're still going to have Blu-ray disc. Come on, get out of here. That's not sense. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And to go to what you're saying, Paulston, Walmart or Best Buy or whoever could throw all the money they want at Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, but in the long run, it would never be enough versus the amount that they would save by not having to do R&D, including an optical. That stuff costs money, and it adds up to, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, every time they try and make these new consoles. They're not going to do that. And if the retailers were to sit there and pitch a fit like, well, we're not going to list your games, we're not going to sell them. We're in an online world now. It's just it is. You know what I mean? Yep. You can easily go to your PlayStation store, your Microsoft store. You can go online to Amazon, which Amazon's already adapted to this. You don't have to buy you don't have to buy a physical copy of the game. You can get a digital copy of the game from Amazon now. So that's what those retailers are going to do. They're going to start selling you codes and you can just go download it. Done.
We're going to talk about Star Wars Battlefront Beta. And also, Paulson, you have a review for this week. What is it?
I do. I talked about this last week, but I gave Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 its chance. I gave it its week, and now I have a definitive review on it.
Oof. I'm very curious about that review.
You can probably tell from my tone of voice right now. I'm not being like, yeah, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 coming up. Yeah. But yeah, you'll listen to it in a sec, and we'll talk about it.
So let's talk about Star Wars Battlefront Beta. And you know what? I want to start off with Paris because he had a lot of things to say in the past about the game. Paris, please. What are your thoughts?
I didn't play it.
Okay, there you go. End the show.
And honestly, the reason, and you guys know just behind the scenes, I've been dealing with some stuff. So I didn't get a chance. I didn't play it.
It's all good.
And I'm just messing with you, man. All right, Patrick, what about you, man?
Yeah, I've been playing it for the last 3 days now. Pretty much every day. I'm inviting some friends over to come check it out and try it with me. So overall, let's just start from the basics. It does feel like Battlefront to me. I'm the first suggestion I made is I put it into third person instead of first person because I just don't like it as a first person game. I feel like you're losing too much of what's going on around you. And, you know, it kind of feels more like Star Wars when you're running around as a stormtrooper as opposed to looking at a stormtrooper's arm. This is personal preference, so the game still plays fine in first person. But let me just talk about the design of it. So, I mean, right now they have three maps available in the beta. You have your large 40-man Hoth map, which is your 20 versus 20 assault siege-style gameplay. You have a smaller 16-player 8 versus 8, you know, capture the objective map on Sullust, and then you have like a two-player or one-player survival mode on Tatooine, kind of like Horde mode. So it kind of like, it's a little bit of everything, the flavors. So let's talk the good. The good is I really like the gunplay in this. It feels like Star Wars. It feels like I am firing a blaster rifle, a blaster pistol. There's infinite ammo with an overcharge mechanic. So you know, if you fire too much, you have to wait for your gun to cool down. It's infinitely accurate. You know, it is fires like a laser weapon, so you can hit people across the whole map. So it does feel like you're in a Star Wars battle when you come across top of a hill and you're seeing red and blue lasers, G.I. Joe style, shooting all across the battlefield, and that's all real people shooting at each other. And any one of those shots can, like, slam into you and kill you. So it does feel like I am on Hoth, and I am, you know, attacking the rebels or, you know, defending my base. But I think this is where it falls short. Is when I think of Hoth, when I think of the opening of Empire Strikes Back, I think of a gigantic icy battlefield with huge, gigantic skyscraper-sized walking tanks descending on an inferior force and then fighting the best to, you know, let their friends escape. In Battlefront 3, I'm not feeling that. You know, it's 40 man. Yes, that is impressive from a console point of view. Definitely not from a PC point of view. But the map design for Hoth is so small, it feels like I am in a corridor. That, you know, the stormtroopers spawn at one end, the AT-ATs spawn, they walk, you cannot control their direction like you could in past games. All they do are they're on rails, you can be inside of one, you can shoot the cannons, you can call out orbital strikes.
Well, you're there for a couple seconds.
You're pretty there for a minute. You have a minute timer before it kicks you out and puts someone else in there. So it kind of feels like, it doesn't really feel like you're controlling an armored behemoth by any means. It's more like you're just hopping into a free, you know, auto turret to kill some people and then go back as a stormtrooper. So that to me is the first bummer. The second bummer is the whole game is based around this idea of like a collectible power-up system, very reminiscent of the old school Quake style of gameplay where you just, there literally are little spinning lightning orbs or orbs that look like AT-STs or AT-ATs or TIE fighters, X-Wings, etc. And all you do is you pick one up, you hold down the L1 and R1 buttons, and then you automatically summon yourself into one of those fighter jets or an AT-ST. And those aren't limited, which is nice. You can't control them until you die. But the problem with the aircraft, with the snow spears, with the TIE fighters, the X-Wings, the space that it gives you to fly around is so unbelievably small. You're essentially just like driving in like a big NASCAR-style space circle. So like you're hitting invisible walls, turning around, coming back, trying to make strafing runs. It feels very awkward. At no point do I feel like I'm playing a Rogue Squadron-style game. I don't feel like I am an X-Wing pilot. I just feel like I'm kind of controlling one for a little bit until either, you know, I crash, I get shot down, I run into someone else in midair. It's a little bit of a cluster bleep, in my opinion. And I think that purely is because the skybox is just much too small. Even Battlefield has a larger skybox for some of their aerial vehicles. So mm-hmm. to me, I just don't like this whole idea of, for me, it's the power-up system. You know, going from the past Battlefronts where you'd spawn in your base and all the vehicles were lined up Battlefield style, and you'd hop into them and you'd take off and you'd fly. That to me felt like Star Wars. This is more like I'm kind of playing a Star Wars collection of mini games, where the core game is fun, playing as a stormtrooper, playing as a rebel fighter. You know, it's really fun to get in shootouts against the other team, but the vehicles just feel so tacked on and almost lifeless that there's no sense of exhilaration or enjoyment. Like, oh man, I'm flying an X-Wing. Oh, I just shot down two TIE fighters and evaded a third one. This is awesome. It's not that. And that bums me because I'm kind of worried about the future of the larger style maps. Because obviously for me, I'm speaking for myself here, the appeal of this game was of these large epic conflicts. You know, the smaller 16 8v8 map, it's okay, but it's more like Call of Duty. You're a run around, people spawn behind you, they shoot you in the back, you spawn, you repeat over and over again until you win or lose. The Hoth battle graphically is beautiful.
I gotta give it credit. Yeah.
You literally see the snow, like, you know, being blasted off the top of hills, wind swept. It all looks just like Hoth. It looks just like they went and scanned in the sets into the game. It's beautiful, but the scale is just much too small. And on top of that, the vehicle system is just too weird and unusual. And a lot of players don't even realize that, so they won't even use the vehicle. They'll run right by the power-ups and go fight until they die, respawn, repeat, repeat, repeat. And then, you know, nothing really happens. No one's capturing objectives. No one's making any headway. It just seems like everyone's kind of running around with their heads cut off. So, I mean, I'm a huge, huge Star Wars fan. I can't overstate that enough. So, I mean, I like playing this game, but now I am worried. Now that I have physically played this and seen the direction they've decided to go in, it just seems like they're trying to make everything too accessible, which I don't agree with. I think there should be, you know, if you want to use the X-Wing, you should be able to tell your teammates, hey, next spawn, let me use the X-Wing. I'm pretty good at it. And they're like, okay, give it a shot. But now it's just kind of like, you got to get to the power-up first. And this becomes worse when you get to the heroes part of the game, because in the, you know, at least in the Hoth battle, you can play as Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader.
But have you unlocked that?
No, I actually never get to found them, because guess what? They're power-ups you pick on the map. They're not indicated of your skill, how well you're doing for your team, anything. It's just you got to be lucky enough to be able the first person to find one on the map. And that's a super bummer to me, because you'll see, you know, people pick them up and all of a sudden you see Darth Vader kind of just almost like flying around and jumping around like a fool, and then he gets shot to death. Or
randomly
like Luke Skywalker run around waving his lightsaber like a, you know, like a, two ray batons, and it just, then he gets shot to pieces too. And like at no point you're like, oh man, I feel like this is Star Wars. Follow Lord Vader. And then he does something stupid and walks off a cliff. And you're like, oh, wait, that was a person. Right. It's just, there's too many things that hold me up from being like, man, this is a great Star Wars experience. I just feel like they made too many liberties from the past gameplay, from the past series.
I think the game is fun.
It is fun. Don't get me wrong. It's fun.
It's fun playing with, you know, like, I don't see me playing this game for a long time.
That's the thing. I'm concerned greatly.
To me, I see myself like, okay, play a couple games. Okay, on to the next different game. Like, that's how I say it. The thing is, too, which I know Paris mentioned this a lot of times, is that there's no story. And, you know, that kind of killed it for me. Because imagine me playing Halo with no story, just multiplayer. Like, I feel that there's certain games need to have a campaign, you know? So, but yeah, anyways, P, anything you want to say before we go to the next topic? I mean, if the fans want to send us feedback about,
please do. I'd love to hear Star Wars feedback from other people that have played this. Please, I like to start a dialogue about this.
Yeah. I don't think I've played enough of it to give an honest opinion.
That's
so
fine.
I'd rather withhold, if anything, maybe to another episode, maybe to the next episode of GTR.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, I think I'm going to withhold judgment for now.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to play now this review from Poston.
So I don't have an opinion, huh?
I mean, you just said you haven't played it, so...
Well, I still have an opinion on what he said.
All right, so go for it, Paris. What is your opinion, Paris?
My opinion is, I've been telling you guys this for months. This is the game. This...
it's
mind.
A no man's sky situation. Paris is right.
Let's wait till the final game comes out, because it is not fair to judge a preview, but everything that Poston has been saying is exactly... It's been all my fears.
My Star Wars optimism has blinded me to this until I played it myself. I will admit that. But now I've realized the truth.
I've been saying it since Star Wars Celebration, and I'll still say it right now here in October. We'll see in November, but this is a game you'll play for 2 weeks. You'll have a blast, and then it'll go on the shelf.
And collect us.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so Possum, introduction, please.
Yeah, okay, so talked about this last week. If you got to listen to 507, mentioned that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 had come out and had received some very, very critical reviews, but I thought it would only be in good fairness to give the developers a 1 week period to hopefully emergency DEFCON 5 patch their game. We're going to play the review now, and I'm going to talk okay. about it afterward. So go ahead and play it. Hey, what's up, GTR? Patrick here again with a new review all for this week. This time we're going to talk about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. I know we mentioned this last week, and I just, you know, stated for the record that I thought it'd be fair to get the game a week for the developers to patch any of the problems, fixing the online issues people have been having, you know, why it got such negative reviews in the first place. But it's been a week now, fast forward. So now let's actually review Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. So I'll be straight up. I was optimistic going into this. I liked the core gameplay. That was very reminiscent of the old games, which I loved as a kid. But nothing has changed in the last week. There have been no patches, no updates. Everything still operates the same as it did when I discussed this on the podcast last week. So first off, I got to say that is a huge bummer. I really thought this would get a quick turnaround. You know, they would realize, you know, the red flags are everywhere, try to fix some of these issues, but everything is still just the same as it was at launch. So let's just be straight up about this. I do not think this game is worth $60. At all. Way too much money. In the future, if it can come down in price, maybe $20, maybe even $30, but that would have to be on the prerequisite that they have gone back in and patched or updated this game, and I have not heard anything on my end of any plans to do so anytime soon. So I have to review it as is. So, I mean, overall, it's a fun skating game. It's designed well. The courses are interesting. I do not like how they are locked behind essentially the mission unlock paywall. You have to earn 15 stars minimum in this series of missions that repeat every single game to unlock the next level. I just feel like that is just way too much grinding and effort, especially when a lot of these missions are very repetitive, pretty boring, and aren't that interesting for the most part, other than some, you know, cute novel ideas such as, you know, your head grows larger and larger and you have to use combos to, you know, deflate it, or you have to, you know, light your board on fire with the campfire and then light torches on fire. So there are a couple of cool ideas here gameplay wise, but as far as the overall package, it's just nothing that gets me excited. You know, nothing in the reminiscence of the old days where, you know, you had an awesome soundtrack, an awesome gameplay, and, you know, really well designed courses. The soundtrack in this game, it's okay. It's kind of all over the place. Got your hip hop, got your punk, got your pop music in there. Again, really no standouts here, nothing compared to the past games. But, I mean, the only highlight really here is the gameplay. It is a fun game. It is designed well, but it suffers from some bad frame rate issues, which seem plenty unexplainable because they happen sometimes in single player as well. It's just a mess. You do sometimes fall through floors. You end up inside of objects. You know, you sometimes crash for no discernible reason. And the other side of the hand, you have the online mode feature, which, you know, it sounds good on paper. You know, it's supposed to be basically a free lobby, free skate area. So when you load into a level, you have other people riding in that level with you. And then you can theoretically quickly invite them into quick little parties and form groups to play missions. But in my experience, it just doesn't work at all. The player invite system is very convoluted. It's slow. It does not use internal matchmaking mechanics. It uses the external Xbox's overlay dashboard of like sending individual game invites to people you don't even know who probably aren't going to accept it because you're just trying to get a quick game together. So it's very, very not user-friendly at all. Huge bummer, disappointment to me. You know, the missions that you can load up, you can do a quick match thing. It essentially just starts a 60-second wait time, hopes that someone joins it in that time. If it does, and you play a quick mission together, and then you kicks you both out, and then you know, retry it, I guess, if you want, or try to find someone else. But in my experience, I've only pretty much found one person at a time for these lobbies. So, you know, some of these larger skating groups that advertised the game has, I'm just not seeing them. I haven't experienced them. I've only been able to play it essentially with one person at a time. On the other side of the coin, you do have the ability to create your own levels from scratch. And the system is very well designed. It's very easy to use. It's intuitive. It's easy to use for a console. You can quickly make some cool levels because you had the templates of all the traditional levels. You can remove all the stuff on them, similar to Halo's Forge mode, and, you know, make your own maps from scratch. The issue is, you know, first of all, I'll admit I'm terrible at that kind of stuff. I always rely on the community to make cool maps for me. So, you know, when I've gone in and looked at the created maps that are available right now, there really aren't that many of them. And, you know, maybe this is just indicative of the Xbox One version, which is the one I'm reviewing right now and the one I have been playing. But most of the maps are either designed for you to, you know, quickly, you know, cheese some of the achievements in the game by putting all the objectives right next to each other. And other ones just seem really like abstract MC Escher creations that really didn't seem to be going anywhere. There were one or two well-designed stages that I did play that were fun. You could tell someone, you know, put effort into them, you know, knew how to design a good skate course. But those are far and few in between. And, you know, from my extensive looking online at all the custom created maps, there only seemed to be about a dozen to two dozen that I could access. There's a search feature. You can set it by, you know, most played, most liked, you know, recent, all that stuff, but it really didn't seem to change. I'm still seeing the same maps in all of those subcategories, and for the most part, they're just not that interesting, you know, especially compared to the base maps, which are, but unfortunately, as I said before, they are locked behind that system where you had to get a minimum of 15 stars and those kind of really repetitive, for the most part, boring missions that you're not going to want to do over and over again. So I just think that's a huge bummer. You know, I am a big Tony Hawk fan. I was really looking forward to this. I had high hopes for it, and you know, I gave them their chance. I gave them a week to fix it, you know, something, anything, but nothing has changed. So unfortunately, I cannot give this game a recommendation at all at this full $60 price tag. Again, you know, if sometime in the future, you know, it drops in price dramatically, I'm talking, you know, at least $30 to $20, and they go back and fix a lot of these issues, this could be a great game to have in your Xbox or PlayStation library because, you know, right now there aren't really any other skating choices at this point. You know, maybe there's a possible EA Skate 4 on the horizon. We've speculated this on the show many times, but nothing concrete yet. This is what we do have. This is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, and I just can't recommend this for full $60 because it's just too much of a buggy mess at this point. And honestly, I just don't think there's even that much content to warrant $60 to begin with. It does need a severe price drop, and it does need a lot of love and attention on the bug fixing, on the mechanical, on the Q&A side. Because, I mean, underneath all of the crap that is stacked on top of this game against it, there is a fun game here. It just needs to run at 60 frames per second. It could use some visual tune-ups. There's way too much texture pop-ins. It just things that, you know, pretty much we don't really see anymore in 2015 major AAA games, you know, with a $60 price tag. So, again, go ahead, pass on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 for now. I'm going to keep track of the development for it, so I'll definitely get back to you guys if there are any big updates or patches, you know, in the near future that do change some of the stuff. But right now, as is, it's still the same game. It wasn't launched, and still just as much as a disappointment, unfortunately. So, sadly, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, cannot recommend. Go ahead and pass on it, and I'll get back to y'all later if there are any updates or improvements to the game. And with that, I'll send it to the crew with any questions.
All right, so we're back here, Gamer Tag Radio, episode 509, and Possum, congratulations on playing this game.
Man, it's rough, dude. I really, really wanted to like this game, but I think this was a case that the developers just wanted it done out of their lives and move on to bigger and better things, which is a bummer because there is the skeleton here of a great game. But it just was not either designed well, QA'd well, tested well. I think a lot of factors, it's obviously no one person's fault. It's just a contributing a large amount of factors. It ended up with a very shoddy final product that should not have been full price at all. So let's be sure about this game is not worth $60, period.
I feel bad for Boston. It's been 2 weeks in a row now.
I kept trying Afro to and get now Tony into Hawk. It. Yeah, but you know, you can't all be winners, unfortunately. But I mean,
that's true.
As I said in the review, you know, if something miraculous happens and they do for some reason go back and fix the game, I will come back on this show and rectify that. We'll address that. But right now, as it stands, it's just not enough content for that price tag. And the content that is there is just under too much stress from the bad frame rate, bad collision detection, the online, which is barely functional. I think this is my biggest issue, as I said in the show, was, you know, if you give me a sub menu a la Destiny where it says, you know, press one button to quickly invite your friends, and then you bring up the whole Xbox overlay of their profile and you want me to manually send them a game invite, that in my experience, 9 times out of 10 wouldn't work for some reason. And the ones that did, the people had already left the game by the time I loaded all that to invite them. That's a problem. That is not intuitive. That is not useful. And that does not make it easy to actually play with other people, which seems like the game was already designed around the concept of those free skate lobbies online. Find someone, quickly invite them, let them join your game. I could not get that to work to save my life. And it just bummed me out because I can see other people still play this. They're suffering through it. They can see it's a good game too, but I can't keep with it at this point. I mean, it is literally a situation kind of like The Witcher. Thankfully, it's got a patch. It's like if it gets to a point where I just can't enjoy myself because of technicality issues, I just have to stop. You know, no matter how fun the base game is, if I'm not enjoying the process of loading it up, or more importantly, as I said, trying to unlock the other levels, because you have to do a certain, you have to do well enough on each of these crappy little missions to unlock the next cool level. No, sorry. That's bad. That's bad game design. And it just bums me out because, you know, we don't have any other skateboarding options at this point.
Well, next week, well, actually, the next episode, Paris might be reviewing a game. Paris, what will you have for the next episode of GTR?
I'm going to review Transformers Devastation. Ooh. For the PC.
And here's the thing. Paris is a huge
I love how you
fan
cut me
of
off.
Transformers.
I love how I'm talking and you just jump in and cut me off.
Oh, no, for real. I couldn't hear you. I couldn't hear you. My bad.
But continue now. I just had to point that out. Continue, please.
No, I just want to say that you're a huge fan of Transformers.
Yes,
I think the biggest fan of Transformers.
Autobots or Decepticons, Paris?
Decepticons.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Thank you.
What's up?
Except for Optimus. Optimus
of course,
is my
of course. But Starscream, man. He's awesome.
Did you cry, Paris, when he died?
Yes.
Who did?
There you go.
Yes. Well,
no. I know I was too young, but
you know Poston didn't.
I mean, like,
Poston didn't.
Hey, I watched it when I was a kid, and it got me. It wasn't until I was older I started becoming all icy hard and why are video games sad enough?
I cried for a truck.
Peter Cullen was the best truck ever. Seriously, that man's amazing. But
then he came back. And I'm like, wait a minute, I thought he was dead.
It's a Spock situation. Absolutely. He's just too popular.
Yeah. Hey, were you guys excited about the Ubisoft newest announcement?
Far Cry Primal?
Yeah.
Were you excited for that or what?
I was. I can't lie. It's
Wait, only Paris? I mean, only Paris?
No one else?
That's it?
I wouldn't say I was surprised. The decision to go back in a few, you know, back in time to...
Of course you were, Time Lord.
Like,
88 shut up. 88 miles per hour.
Doesn't work in this scenario, Danny. Right. But the decision to go back to prehistoric era was pretty cool. I like the settings. I love the fact that there's a potential to have a saber-toothed tiger as your companion, possibly. It's still early, though, so it'll be interesting to see, but it looks interesting.
The thing is, isn't it too soon? The last Far Cry just came out?
It came out last November.
A year ago. It'll be over a year by the time this one's
out. It's a fair development time. Because okay, let's be honest. It is the same engine from Far Cry 4. It is essentially going to be a reskin Curat, but you're taking out the guns, all the modern stuff, and going back to, as you know, they said in the developer video, it's kind of like a really great area in history. We know roughly what the tools they used, maybe what their social structures were like, but they get to make up a new language. They get to make up tribal conflict. They get to make up all of this cool stuff because I think it's fascinating, you know, because this reminds me back. Remember, guys, when BC was a thing? Which could have been like one of the best games ever on the original Xbox. Like, I'm getting flashbacks to that now. Where it's like, ooh, cool. We're back to this old school Dawn of Mankind idea. This is interesting because, you know, I mean, I love first person shooters. They're amazing. But, you know, for me, this is like, you know, ooh, this is be challenging because now I'm at disadvantage. You know, I'm smart as a human, but I'm outnumbered, I'm outmuscled, I'm outfanged, and all I have is my wits, my team, and spears and bones and axes like that. So for me, from a single-player campaign perspective, this sounds fascinating, you know, to go through and discover the origins of man, you know, because they have a lot of, you know, wiggle room here with, you know, telling a loose story of, like, what it would be like to have, you know, be introduced into a new tribe, be accepted, have the tribal conflicts with other tribes, trying to find new resources to survive, because every day is a struggle. I mean, it's not like, you know, you wake up and you think, what am I going to do today? It's, I'm going to go find food. I'm going to, you know, make sure my tribe lives. I'm going to, you know, establish my dominance in a territory. There's a lot of cool, you know, alpha male sounding things that sound like it'd be fun to do in an interesting, well-developed environment with hopefully a lot of interesting floral and fauna that, you know, because they could pull from, because there's so many extinct animals from that time period that people may have only seen in the museum, like a mammoth or saber-toothed tiger. There's a lot of other diversity and, you know, what mammals used to be like, gigantic mammals back when, you know, there was, you know, before us, before we showed up, started killing them. So, for, you know, for me, as a history buff, especially, like, I love anthropology as well, I'm pretty damn fascinated by this game. You know, it...
Is this coming out when?
February 23rd.
Is it spring?
Mm-hmm.
February 23rd. Hmm. I'm very surprised about that. Very surprised.
And they're just basically reskinning it to make it, you know, old school and telling a new story. And honestly, that's enough for me to get excited. I really mean, I don't know what multiplayer would be like. You know, co-op hunting of giant animals. That could be cool. I would be on board for that. But even just a single player game telling that story of, you know, mankind's first steps into conquering the world. Dude, that sounds fascinating to me. And I've seen enough, you know, rough gameplay. You know, I like bow and arrows. I like throwing spears, that sounds fun. Stealth mechanics, obviously, day and night cycles, and nighttime being very, very dangerous for humans, but nocturnal predators.
Like Dying Light,
yeah, like Dying Light. That just sounds like a cool way to take a first-person idea and do something different with it. So I'm all on board for it at this point. I'm excited.
What about you? What about you, Paris and Pete? Do you see yourself getting this game at all? Or
I'm not big into Far Cry, into that whole franchise. I honestly was hoping this would have been more like Far Cry Blood Dragon, which I did enjoy because it was just completely absurd and over the top, but it was using the Far Cry 3 engine, excuse me. I was hoping to see something similar with this, but it looked like they're taking a more serious approach with it. So, I mean, we'll see as more information about the game comes out. I don't really have that big of an opinion on it other than I'm not a big Far Cry guy.
Okay.
And I know B wasn't a big fan of the last Far Cry. He said he was just hunting the whole time.
Yeah, it that's pretty much what it was for me. But to be honest, watching my son play the game gave me a newer, better appreciation for it.
Okay.
And I can't imagine what kid or, you know, what person didn't have a love for dinosaurs in that whole era. It's not like any of us have ever lived through something like that. So to be able to live through that, and I think it kind, you know, the whole gaming industry touched on it slightly with Turok back in the day.
Oh, you know? Yes. Great game.
But this gives you more than just your, you know, go here, do this. You know, this is going to be a little bit more. So I'm not going to say it's going to be a day one buy for me, but it does pique my interest.
Before we,
because I love dinosaurs.
Before we move on real quick, thank you, Pete, for bringing that up, because I don't want to do it. Because even though scientifically we did not exist at the same time as dinosaurs, if that is not the twist in this game and it's like all of a sudden dinosaurs, I'll be bummed. I'll be honest. Because I really want to have dinosaurs in this game. Because, you know, just giant mammals is cool, but like, come on. Like, it's a wasted opportunity. I mean, even if it has to be, like Paris was saying, a Blood Dragon style add-on to this game that's like, surprise, dinosaurs, that would be cool. But I think they're missing an opportunity to make that the twist in the game, is like, oh wait, you know, here is a secluded part of this Ice Age valley that somehow the dinosaurs survived the asteroid collision and they're alive in this valley. So, you know, now all of a sudden it's harder because there's giant fanged lizards walking around. So that, come on, if Ubisoft, I know they've already done making the game, but I really hope that that is their, you know, gotcha hook game.
That would be cool.
I would love that.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. But remember, tune in this Thursday. We have more fan mail questions and also the review of the new Transformers that Paris is going to be reviewing, too. So this is which version you have, Paris?
Before you cut me off, I was about to say I have it on Steam on the PC.
You're a punk.
And I'll potentially be doing a review as well for Wasteland 2 Director's Cut on Xbox One.
Oh, that's going to be for Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We're on a roll. We're on a roll. All right. And, Apostle, I believe you're going out of town one of these days. I can't say for what.
Yes. I'm not sure how much I can say. I'll be vague.
Don't say location, nothing. Just yes. Just say yes.
Yes, I am going somewhere for an event. Wow.
Thanks for letting him answer. Thanks for letting him answer.
And that's
Danny.
All I can say probably officially, but it is something that I am very, very excited about. And I know y'all probably will be too, but I'll be giving you a lot more information about that in the weeks to come.
All right. That's cool. All right. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com or also play.it and listen to our past episodes of GamerTag Radio. and share with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Anything else you guys want to say before we wrap it up? I guess not.
Sleeper Simulant. I
only hear crickets. The what?
I said Sleeper Simulant.
Okay. Anyways, we're out. Until next time. Peace.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.